Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Paul Hastings ICO teleconference series, The Big Question: Are Tokens Securities, Commodities, or Both? Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Megan Olson. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the second installment in our ICO teleconference series. I'm Megan Olson, a partner in our Los Angeles office and a member of our Securities and Capital Markets and M&A practice groups. Joining me this morning are Jeff Hartland, a partner in our Palo Alto office. Jeff regularly represents private and public technology companies, including emerging growth companies in capital raising, M&A, and other strategic transactions. Jeff is advising a number of companies in SAFT offerings and token sales. Also joining us is David Hernand, another partner in our Los Angeles office. David advises companies in M&A and investments across many industries with a particular emphasis in media, entertainment, and technology. Our third panelist today is Mike Zappone, a partner in our New York office. Mike served as the branch chief in the New York regional office of the SEC and chairs Paul Hastings Securities and Capital Markets. With those introductions, we'll go ahead and get started. So the popularity of ICOs as a means of raising capital continues to skyrocket despite the uncertain regulatory landscape. As mentioned in our prior session, a sale of digital tokens, or what is often referred to as an initial coin offering, as a means of raising capital, implicates a wide variety of laws and regulations. In today's session, we'll focus on laws and regulations that apply to the sale and subsequent trading of tokens sold in an ICO or other token sale. These are laws regulating the issuance and trading of securities and commodities. Which laws apply to the sale of tokens really depends on what it is that's being sold. So let's start there. David, we'll start with you. What exactly is being sold in an ICO?
Thanks, Megan. Good morning, everyone. So an ICO, or an initial coin offering, as has been commonly rephrased or coined, is a catchphrase for a sale of digital tokens typically on a blockchain or a distributed ledger network. With each token representing an ownership interest or a right to participate in profits in the enterprise. It could be value as an exchangeable currency, or can be used to perform a function or procure services or a resource. The digital token is nothing more than a receipt evidencing ownership in a thing, and the receipt and what you get is expressed as a code. So it's a series of numbers or alphanumeric code representing an interest in something. And that token is intended for use on a specific network and can be transferred among persons using that network, with each transfer being recorded on every node on the network. That's the nature of the distributed ledger technology, such that there's always complete agreement about who owns each token. The tokens being sold in ICOs that we're seeing are extremely varied, ranging from tokens that represent equity in a company or interest in a venture fund, to tokens intended to be used as currency, such as Bitcoin or Dash, to loyalty points, like, you know, points in an airline mileage reward program, to tokens that can be used to procure resources, like using Filecoin to access distributed storage resources on the Filecoin network. Some tokens seem essential to a company that employs blockchain or distributed ledger technology as a core part of its business model, so they're kind of integrated. Token economics are integrated as a fundamental part of the business. And others seem merely to be add-ons of people who are trying to take advantage of kind of the current frenetic ICO funding environment. And so they have a business that was otherwise just a normal startup pursuing an interesting idea, and they've strapped on a token as a way of saying, me too, we want to raise money in the ICO environment. And looking at all the varied types of tokens that are being sold, I think most people sort of think of them as falling into two categories: a security token, a digital representation of an equity ownership stake in a business or a right to participate in its future profits. So kind of like a security that just happens to be evidenced buy a digital token instead of perhaps a stock certificate or other physical manifestation of an ownership stake or investment contract. And the second category being a utility token, a digital representation of something that is useful as currency, as a reward for taking specific actions, or that can be used to procure resources for network participants. So we'll talk about more about that distinction or that use or the implications of it being a security token or a utility token.
That's right. And so just to expand on David's last point, you know, the distinction between whether or not a token is a security or not is critical in determining what laws apply to the token sale. So Mike, can you walk us through the test for whether something qualifies as a security under U.S. securities laws?
Sure, Megan. I'm happy to do so. First, it's important to note that the United States securities laws do not regulate commercial activities. However, certainly in my experience, the dividing line between what is commerce and what is dealing in a security is often elusive. To determine whether a token, as described by David, constitutes a security, the SEC and the courts will apply a landmark decision entitled SEC versus W.J. Howey Company, a case that was issued by the United States Supreme Court in 1946 that set out the so-called investment contract test. And that test will define as a security an arrangement where there is an investment of money, obviously, and money does not necessarily fiat currency. It can be anything of value. That investment in a common enterprise could be an issuer or even an unincorporated organization, and the investment is made with an expectation of profits, which is often the case when there is an investment that is made by any investor. And the investment is based primarily on the efforts of others, and that is the prong of the test that is most germane to the discussion today. It is a facts and circumstances test and quite expansive in how it is administered by the SEC and the courts when they are presented with these questions. If all four prongs of the test are met, then you're dealing with a security. So that tokens that represent, as David alluded to, shares or interests in a issuer or otherwise entitle a holder to dividends, participate in profits and earnings, are generally going to be considered a security. More interesting question is the sale of a pre-release utility token. It can raise security status concerns because, among other things, before the token ecosystem is developed and the tokens are actually issued, the expectation of profits is based primarily on the efforts of others, that last prong I alluded to earlier. And those efforts are derived from the founders and the network developers. A functional utility token for an already developed network is less likely to satisfy the last prong of Howey, and we'll address that as we continue our dialogue today.
Thanks, Mike. So let's just stay on the security question a little bit longer. Whether something qualifies as security for U.S. federal securities laws purposes, Jeff, can you address the SEC's view on ICOs and whether tokens constitute securities in their view?
Sure, thank you. So while the SEC has weighed in, it has not to date provided definitive guidance regarding whether and when tokens are securities, and therefore whether tokens, ICOs, including pre-sales, are subject to the U.S. securities laws. As I'm sure many of the participants are aware, in July of this year, the SEC issued what has become known as the DAO report or the Dow report, not to be confused with the Dow Jones, and in doing so, really sent the first indication of the SEC's and the staff's position with respect to ICOs and token sales. For a little bit of background, in the middle of 2016, the DAO, which stands for the Decentralized Autonomous Organization, offered and sold DAO tokens, which was a new virtual cryptocurrency, in exchange for about 12 million Ether, which at the time was valued at about 150 million U.S. dollars. The company marketed itself as a for-profit entity that would hold assets through the sale of tokens to investors, and these assets would then be used to fund projects, quote-unquote, and a token granted a token holder certain voting and ownership rights. And according to the SEC, the holders stood to share in the anticipated earnings from these projects as a return on their investment in the tokens. So the SEC determined that the tokens were securities and that the ICO was an unregistered offering of securities, although it ultimately chose not to pursue an enforcement action in the case. It stated in its report that the U.S. federal securities laws may apply to various activities, including distributed ledger technology, depending on the particular facts and circumstances, without regard to the form of the organization, the technology used, or otherwise. We think this is a fairly easy case for the SEC. As Mike mentioned, there are certain hallmarks of traditional securities as we all know them, including voting rights and economic rights, and the tokens that were sold in this ICO included both of those. Subsequent to the Dow report, SEC has brought a couple of enforcement actions. The first was filed in September of this year against a New York businessman and two of his companies in what has been dubbed as the Diamonds in Real Estate ICO. In that case, the SEC alleged that the defendants engaged in an unregistered sale of securities and that the tokens offered actually don't even exist. According to the commission, the defendants also made misrepresentations about the company's operations and how much money they had actually raised. And then earlier this week, you may be aware, the SEC announced that it filed charges against a company called PlexCorp and two members of its management team. The SEC in that matter alleged that defendants marketed and sold securities, which they called PlexCoins, and claimed that investments in PlexCoin would yield a profit of more than 1,000% in less than 29 days, so a pretty good return. This was the first enforcement action brought by the SEC's new cyber unit, which was created in September to focus the enforcement division's cyber-related expertise on misconduct, including distributed ledger technology and ICOs. We think that the action earlier this week is probably the first of many for the cyber unit, and we'll be speaking more about this in a subsequent panel. At an event last month, SEC Chairman Jay Clayton went a little bit off script and indicated that he has yet to see an ICO that does not have a sufficient number of hallmarks of a security. He also noted that there appears to be a lack of general information about many online platforms that list and trade virtual coins and tokens that are offered and sold in these ICOs. We think the takeaway is that through its recent actions, recent statements, the SEC has made clear that it intends to assert jurisdiction over some ICOs, but at least to date, it has stopped short of classifying all tokens as securities. By not taking a blanket approach as some other jurisdictions have, the SEC appears to be trying to avoid at least creating a chilling effect on all ICOs in order to allow the technology and the concept to develop, or perhaps to give the regulators a little bit more time to understand where this is going to come out before they adopt a uniform regulatory policy.
Thanks, Jeff. Another reason that the SEC may have been taking this wait-and-see approach is that the regulators needed time to catch up to the industry in terms of understanding this new form of capital raising and the associated technology behind it. But the recent formation of the cyber unit is indicative of the SEC's commitment of resources to and focus on policing ICO activity. So with that in mind, Mike, if the SEC takes the position that a particular token is a security, what are the consequences of the ICO and the related activity not complying with U.S. securities laws?
Thanks, Megan. I'm happy to address that. The consequences are obviously severe. If you are sponsoring or participating in a material way in an unregistered securities offering. Penalties range from fines and monetary penalties to criminal liability, and the individuals that can be exposed to that liability include the management team and any enterprise that's sort of promoting the offering. There's a private. There are private rights that investors have, and as we've seen, the class action securities bar recently has been involved in litigation against the promoters of ICOs, but investors who purchase securities have statutory remedies that entitle them to a right of rescission, which is essentially the right to have the investment returned to them plus interest. Obviously, if a startup enterprise is utilizing token technology for in an ICO format to raise capital, these kinds of negative consequences can be disastrous, certainly from a cash flow perspective. There are also collateral consequences to dealing in a token that is judged a security after it has been issued, and this is important for players in the sector to understand. Certain activities may render an actor to be considered an investment advisor. Investment advisors under certain circumstances have to register with the SEC, or the platform can be judged an investment company. This is particularly relevant to sponsors looking to raise capital for a fund and tokenize the interest in the fund. Unregistered investment companies also can result in consequences in terms of additional remedies for investors in that particular unregistered fund, and obviously for the control persons that are associated with the investment company, similar exposure to fines and penalties, and in egregious cases, obviously criminal liability. Even those who facilitate trading and have nothing to do with the initial promotion or issuance can run the risk of being deemed a broker-dealer, or worse, a statutory securities exchange. Under our system, under the Exchange Act of 1934, those who act as broker-dealers who operate what is known as a securities exchange are required to register with the SEC and conform to a regime of regulation that is quite extensive. So ICOs, obviously, if they are judged to involve the offer and sale of securities, the aftermarket in those securities are going to be subject to regulation under the Exchange Act, and an intermediary that is facilitating trading, whether as a broker-dealer or operating an exchange, otherwise would have to comply with that regime of regulation. And it's just not the SEC that is relevant here. Each of the individual states in the United States has a separate body of law called state blue sky laws, and they regulate issuers as well as brokers and dealers, so that to the extent that there is a footfall in terms of compliance with respect to an ICO offering, the state regulators can also assert jurisdiction and bring actions and seek penalties and fines, etc. Other states and certain states have money transfer regulation. In New York State has a bit licensing regulatory regime that applies to virtual currencies. So all of this has to be considered by anybody who's just considering issuing these securities or facilitating the trading in these securities.
Thanks, Mike. As David and Mike both touched on a bit in their earlier remarks, there's different types of tokens, some of which may not constitute a security, but which may constitute a commodity. According to statements made by the chairman, something that starts as a security may turn into a commodity at a certain point in its life cycle. Mike, we'll turn back to you again for this one. Can you provide the group a brief overview of the regulatory framework that applies to commodities in the U.S.?
Sure. Well, the CFTC has made a policy statement fairly recently that it believes that Bitcoin and other virtual assets are other so-called virtual currencies are commodities. So clearly, an ICO involving the issuance of a token in the eyes of the CFTC, you're dealing with a commodity. And the CFTC has not necessarily defined what is and what is not a virtual currency, but really has relied on the IRS definition, which I will review. For IRS purposes, a virtual currency is a digital representation of value that functions as a medium of exchange, a unit of account, and/or store of value. In some environments, it operates like a real currency, but it does not constitute legal tender in the U.S., for example. Virtual currency that has an equivalent value in real currency or that acts as a substitute for real currency is referred to as convertible virtual currency. Tokens like Bitcoin that can be digitally traded between users and can be purchased for or exchanged into fiat currency like the U.S. dollar or other virtual currencies like Bitcoin will likely be viewed by the CFTC as virtual currencies. The federal commodities regulations here in the U.S. prohibit a range of activities related to commodities and commodities trading, most important of which is price manipulation of the underlying virtual currency that impacts virtual currency derivative trading. The regulations also prohibit trading of futures and options on digital currencies unless they are traded on a CFTC registered commodities exchange. Similar to the treatment under the securities laws, the consequences of violating the commodity